Acts chapter 16, let's start looking at in verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored, those Paul and those with him, his entourage, to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosening from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. They gathered there as well. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So she worshiped God, but she wasn't worshiping him correctly. And that happens all the time. There's people who come to church, they worship. Matter of fact, in Mars Hill, he says, you worship what you don't know what you worship. You just kind of come, and you're just, your parents came, so you come. That's not, I'm glad if people are here, but I pray the Lord change their heart like he did this woman. This is salvation. This is how it happens with everybody, every one of the elect. The Lord opened her heart. That's what he does in every single sinner saved by the grace of God. Now, he also uses the preaching of the gospel, because Paul said we were to go there evidently to preach the gospel. They gathered where they were having worship, so-called worship time. And Paul attended, he spoke the things which were spoken of Paul. And what's the result? There's got to be results after the Lord saves somebody. Love. Verse 15, and when she was baptized, that's we highly recommend that, and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. So faith without works is dead. I mean, that's this. I know people get a little bit concerned about James and works, but it's inspired by God. It's in the scriptures. We do what those things which the Lord has laid on our hearts. His love constrains us, not the law. So anyway, I just wanted to look at this. And Psalms chapter 110 states, God makes us willing in the day of his power, which none can resist. God makes us willing. I think it's Psalm 110, verse 10. He makes us willing in the day of his power. And I was speaking to Melinda or Bruce or something, I can't remember, but that I used to think that was just salvation. That's everything. He makes us willing to be here. He makes us willing to give the support of missionaries and the support of the work here. He makes us willing to call one another and encourage one another. He has to make us willing in the day of his power. That does not stop. And if it ever stops, then I would question whether I have heard the truth. If I can stop being gracious, if I can stop coming to church where the gospel is preached, not, you know, Lydia, but the Lord uses false motives. He can change the motive just like that. Just, you know, our children probably don't want to be here, but as they're under the household, they're going to be here. And just perhaps the Lord would open their hearts like he did Lydia. So based upon this text and many other texts, we know how, why, and when the Lord deals with his chosen people. Now turn with me to Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. This is very similar to what happened. It's a little different, but it's very similar to what was going on in Acts and in other places, which we'll see as we go get into the message. Acts, Numbers chapter 10, and we'll start in verse 1 through 6 to kind of bring us up to speed what's going on. The Lord spake unto Moses, make two trumpets of silver of a whole piece. Thou shalt make them, and thou shalt mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journey of the camps. So he instructs Moses to make these trumpets. So when they get, because there's a lot of people. I don't know how many people, 100,000, 200, 300,000. There's a lot of people. So they blow the trumpets. Everybody stops what they're doing. They get together and they get instruction. Well, what they're getting ready to do is they're getting ready to march in the wilderness from Mount Sinai to Paran. They're getting ready to get up and leave. They went out. The Egyptians got inundated with the flood, you know, the Red Sea. So here they are. They've been here for a while. Now they're going to move. Verse 29. Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. We'll stop there. We're going to go a little ahead, but we'll stop there now. Let's look at one called, this guy called Hobab, and see the free, amazing grace laid upon a chosen vessel of God. They're beginning to move, but before they move, this Hobab, he's a Midianite, and if we're not going to turn there, but if you would look at Exodus 18, you would see the story of Jethro. They dwelt out in the wilderness. They were a tribal people. Hobab came with Jethro and his tribe to visit Moses in the wilderness. So that's what's going on. They're already there. They weren't a part of the children of Israel. They're already out there. They weren't in Egypt. But they heard they were there. And in Exodus 18, it's beautiful what Jethro, he's saying, oh, the Lord's done this. And he's so happy for Moses and the people. So they get together. So apparently then at the end of Exodus, then Jethro leaves. But Hobab, he stays around. He hangs around. And Moses, this is what's going on. Moses says, come with us. We'll do you good. If you're with us, God will do you good. Because this is his word of promise. This is what God told me. So Moses, in verse 29, talks to Hobab, come with us. We here this morning should at the very least implore our kin to come with us, to hear, to believe, to trust Christ's gospel, his word of truth, and bow to his kingly prerogatives. That's the least we should do. A lot of the Puritan writers said, you know, Lord saves you. One of the first things you should do is your household. Mom, dad, brothers, sisters. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Yes, that's it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians 5 doesn't have 20 verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Everyone who knows Christ is his ambassador. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5:20. That's what we are. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to tell people, pray that they would be reconciled to God. Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. You'll know the story instantly when I start reading it. John chapter 1, and starting in verse 35. talking about John the Baptist and his disciples that were following him. Then he introduces them, or behold the Lamb of God. In John chapter 1, he says, verse 35, again the next day, after John stood and the two disciples, and looking upon Jesus, he walked and saith, John, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. That's what John was to do. He was to prepare the way. And so he, you know, this is what he was called to do. I don't know if I could do this. You know, we'd want more people here. But if somebody here hears the gospel and then they move away, as long as they're going to another place where the gospel is, that's wonderful. That's glorious. And so John, so they left John and they went to Jesus. And Jesus, and looking at he said, behold the Lamb of God, verse 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them and said unto them, what seek ye? And they said, Rabbi, which is interpreted Master, where dwellest thou? Christ asked, what? And they said, who? That's the issue. John said, what did you come out here to see? What did you see? Some weird guy in a camel skins eating locusts and honey? He turned. Christ turned to those two disciples and said, what? Which seems a little odd. And they said, who? We're seeking you. Read on. He said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, finds Philip. Philip said unto him, follow me. Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip finds Nathanael and says unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law, the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said, come and see. Come with us. Come with us. Time would not allow me to go into Ruth and Naomi. She left her land. And then she left full. She left and she all of her children's in-laws, they died. The sons died. The husband died. There she is with the Oprah. And then Ruth. Oprah says, I'm going to go back to my people. I know them. I'm comfortable around them. A job may be here. Who knows? I'm going to go there. And Ruth said, I'm going to cleave to you. I'm going to go with you. So we have example after example of this. Come see. Moses is saying, he says, look at what he says again back into our text in Numbers. He says, we are journeying to the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. We're based on the word of God, the promise of God. Come with us, and we will do you good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. What he's saying is, be numbered with us. Be numbered with the Israel of God. He mentions God's infallible promise, his word of truth. And that's what we must speak. We don't want to speak on, I think this is what we're supposed to do. I think this is what the gospel is. No, we know what the gospel is. We've heard the gospel. Like Lydia, we were probably religious. I know I was. Most of us were religious. And then we heard the gospel, the word of truth. And that's what we speak according to. Not according to what somebody's written down. The book, the word of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:16 says it's the power. And that word in the Greek is dumas, which is where we get our word dynamite. It's a force. Mighty is what that represents. And all this is for God's people, for good. As Romans 8:28 says, this is what Moses is saying. And Romans wasn't even written yet. But it's all, the scriptures fit together like a glove. 66 authors talk about one person, one thing, one God, one faith, one baptism. God said, I'll give it to you. Come with us. We'll do you good. Come with us now. Do not delay. And enjoy God's covenant blessings to all his reclaimed, redeemed sinners. That's what we want for our children. That's what we want for our grandchildren. That's what we want for our friends, our neighbors. And yes, even our enemies. We pray for them too. Because we know God's word cannot fail. The promise is true and sure to all the seed. Verse 30, what's Hobab's answer? Boy, have we not heard this before, even amongst ourselves. Here's his answer, and this is you and I in the flesh, and this is all unbelievers. He said to Moses, I'm not going to go. I will not depart. I'm going to go to depart from my own land and my own kindred. Have we not heard this so many times before, either in us, when we know we should obey, and we make excuses? And unbelievers, it's easy to retreat back home with friends and family. It's safe. But if they're going, well, we talked about Pilgrim's Progress. One of the first things the Lord starts to deal with Christian is when he's in his house, the city of destruction, his home and his family. He puts his hands over his ears and runs out. Oh, that seems awful harsh. That seems awful mean. Tell him to come with us. But if you can't force anybody, only the spirit of grace and supplication will make them willing, but make them willing in the day of his power. Tell them, be kind to them, but don't partake of their, I'm going back. It's easy. This way, we're dwelling in the wilderness, but where you're going, we've never been before. It's new. New creatures. It's new. I haven't experienced that. It's frightening. Faith. This is the fight of faith. It's a struggle. And we know in the New Testament, he says, well, one says, I gotta bury my kin. I've got to go to a wedding. I've got to attend. I got to view the land I purchased. Oh, the vile tuggings of this vain world and all its glitter and gold. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. You know, the parable of the sower. That's what they came up and they were all excited. What choked them out? The cares of the world. If we can see the world for what it truly is, it's Antichrist. And we've got to be in the world. I'm not saying quit your job and become monks. I'm saying be aware of it. Luke chapter 9, verses 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whither you goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds have airs, have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Come with us, but it's not going to be easy. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, I suffer me first to go bury my father. That's legitimate. To us, to the flesh, it's legitimate. I gotta bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead. Can you imagine somebody saying that? At a wedding, at a funeral? Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. That's what we're to do. And another said, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell that are at home in my house. Got company, can't come. Lord may be using that to keep you from hearing the gospel. May we be like Joshua, as for me and my house. This is where we're going to be. This is who we want to be with. This is what we want to hear. The gospel of the living God. Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 16 through 21. And he said unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bid many, and sent servants at the supper time, saying to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. I've got to look at it. Maybe be excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I got to go prove them. You didn't prove them before you bought them. That shows a little bit of wisdom there. I pray, let me be excused. Another said, I have married a wife. Sounds like Adam. I've married a wife. Let me be excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And so the servant came and showed his Lord these things. The master said of the house, was being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly in the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed, the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done and thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. Come with us. Come with us. And I know. We want the best for our kids. We want the best anything can get, but I'll tell you what, if the best means pulling them away from the gospel, I'd say chuck it. But look at Moses, verse 31 and 32. He just keeps on. Back to our text, Numbers. He says, verse 30, I'm not going to come. I'm going to depart my own land into my kindred. Moses said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if you go with us, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same we will do unto thee. Now some people say, and I can see this, that Moses is resorting to the flesh. He's saying, well, you know, I don't know. I think this may be human responsibility and God's sovereignty. That's kind of how I see it. I don't know. But a lot of people say, and like I said, I can see how they get this. The cloudy pillar, Moses had the cloudy pillar. And he had the fire. And he had the ark. So what did he need this guy's eyes for? Well, I can see how that could be possible. But on the other hand, I don't see it quite like that. I see it more as, if you go with this, it shall be. He didn't say it might be. It shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will he. These are words of belief. And that's what faith does. And then we're not telling our children, we're not telling our friends and our neighbors and even ourselves that this walk of faith is easy. If you think so, you're reading a different Bible than I am. Every sinner, every saved sinner has struggled greatly. But I tell you what, at the end of the day, go home, lay down, and sleep. Because whatever comes your way is coming by the hand of God through Christ. And if you're in Christ, that's what matters. That's really the only thing that matters. That's why Paul could say time and time again, I'm determined not to know anything among you except Christ and him crucified. So Moses constrains him to go with him again in Israel. Leave us not. If God be for us and you, none can be against you. Really, that's what it was, Romans. Don't let this world and its citizens or Satan or the flesh keep you from coming to Christ. Let's partake of his means. Let's saturate ourselves with his word and with his people. Basically, he's saying, you know, what we say is take sides against yourself and this world, be it lands or kindred or whatever. Jethro's gone. He's saying, I'm going back. Oprah, she said, I'm going back. And with the story with Ruth and Naomi, I'm going back. And that's the last we hear of her. And many people, they die as they've lived. That's the last you hear of them. But not Ruth. What happened to Ruth? You ever look at the genealogy in Matthew? May our great God cause us to turn, change our heart, mind, and soul. And that's really what repentance is. Repentance is a turn of change of mind. And who can do that? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And agree with God, agree with this book, and agree with his people that we are only sinners in need of salvation. Sinners saved by grace. We'd say what Jonah said. Salvation is of the Lord. Don't talk to me about free will. Don't talk to me about decisions. Don't talk to me about walking an aisle. You walk an aisle and then you go back and you're in the same seat and you wake up in the morning with the same issues, the same problems. Don't know how to deal with them. Christ is everything. He is our all and in all to the believer. Trust, believe, adore the glorious Redeemer. The last thing, he convinced Hobab, but let's look at Hobab's reward and our reward. And it shall be, if you go with this, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, verse 32, the same will we do unto thee. Verse 33, and they departed. Now, there's a lot of commentators, they've said that they don't know, we don't know if Hobab went. But to me, the very direct context is two men talking, and it says they departed from the mount, the Lord 3 days, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out the resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day. They went out of the camp. And it came to pass that the ark set forward, that Moses said, rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. So, verse 33, they departed. Though Moses nor Hobab would ever set foot in the promised land. Now, we know that because Joshua and Caleb and the children. So we know that. But we know Moses never set foot in the promised land. But they, Hobab and Moses, like Abraham, were fully persuaded of it. Romans chapter 4. I probably ought to show you the text that showed that Hobab went, but we're going to look at these first. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, I think that's a 25, 17. As it is written, Romans chapter 4, verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, speaking of Abraham, before whom he believed, even God quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who, Abraham, against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's Moses, and that's Hobab now. Not weak in faith. And being fully persuaded, that's faith, fully persuaded, that what God had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's what faith does. True faith. It embraces the promise, because God cannot lie. He won't lie. He doesn't lie to his people, because it's all tied in with Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It's all tied up before the foundation of the world in the covenant of grace. So he hadn't seen them. Hobab was persuaded, not having seen with his eyes the promised land, yet acted as though God cannot lie and sought a better country, a heavenly one. Romans chapter 10 or Isaiah 28 says, he that believeth shall not be confounded. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be confounded. Now, the world may confound you. Satan may confound you. You may not know what, you know, do I switch jobs? What do I, you know, you may not know all that, but in Christ, the things that really matter, salvation, justification, sanctification, glory, these things will not be confounded. Now, how do I know that Hobab went? Judges chapter 1. Now this is after, you know, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Judges. This is after the conversation. Judges chapter 1 and verse 16. Oh boy. I'm in Joshua. That'll help. Judges is after Joshua, so we're further on down, right? Okay, we understand what's going on. This is, they're already in. Judges chapter 1, verse 16. And the children of the Kenites, Moses' father-in-law, went up out of the city of the plain of the of palm trees with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lieth south of Arad. And they went and dwelt among the people. So that's who we're talking about. His descendants. Judges chapter 4 and verse 11. This is another descendant of Hobab. Judges chapter 4 verse 11. Now Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent in the plain by Kedesh. So they're with them. They went with them. So his descendants are with them. So he must have went with them. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And this is about it. There's not a whole lot about this Hobab. Came into our narrative to glorify God in the salvation of him and his household, and then disappears again. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 16. Verse 16. Then Samuel said unto Saul, I'm in the wrong place again. Verse 6, okay. And Saul said unto the Kenites, that's the tribe, go depart ye down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed among the Amalekites. So they were with them. So he went. So this is Hobab's descendants were most assuredly went with Moses. So this is what we have in Hobab. We've got three things, to summarize. First, we see in Hobab the venture of faith. He forsook all to follow Christ. The second thing we see in Hobab is the life of faith. Hobab saw and experienced all the good from the Lord Jehovah on his behalf. He's like Enoch. All it says about him is he walked with God. Well, we know it was a walk of faith. So we see the venture of faith, the life of faith, and then thirdly, the reward of faith. Hobab was built upon the rock. He was fully convinced that God said in his word, and most assuredly would come to pass. He didn't get to see the promised land, but that's nothing compared to Beulah's land. That's nothing compared to heaven itself. He's resting in the arms of his Savior because he believed what somebody said. Isn't that what Philip, Nathaniel, that they believe somebody? Well, how can, isn't that what Enoch, or the Ethiopian eunuch, how can I understand unless somebody tells me? Moses, was God's mouthpiece to talk to Hobab. And Hobab believed what Moses said, but more importantly, he believed what God said. Now, this goes back to this, what Scott Richardson said about argumentation and convincing people of who God is and what he's done. If you and I are the only means by which we convince them, somebody smarter will come along and convince them out of it. But if the Holy Spirit convinces through this word that Jesus is the Christ, what think ye of Christ? You'll be convinced. And you'll come with us. You'll come with us. One last thought, which is probably maybe the most important thing. Not particular for this message, but it's the most important thing in life and life after. Verse 33, and they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days. Now, who's the ark of the covenant? Who's that picture? That picture is the Lord Jesus Christ. One last thought. If Christ doesn't go with us, we don't want to go. We don't need to go. But let us never forget, the ark is with the people. The ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. Every time we gather together here, I'm so thankful that we don't talk about, I mean, we need to live and we move and have our being, but it's all in God. It's all in Christ. But I'm so thankful that, you know, politics and this and that and all this stuff that's going on in this country specifically, you know, I'm not saying we can't talk about it, but I'm saying we don't. We talk about Christ. And, you know, the kids are doing things in the school. And, you know, I'm guilty. I show them pictures of the grandkid. You know, we do stuff. I mean, that's just, we don't need to be so religious and stoic. And no, he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We ought to be touched with one another's infirmities. Find out what's going on. How you doing? I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, know this. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord is going before us. It's going before us. He is ever with us, defending, protecting, nourishing, sustaining his workmanship. And for that, we are glad and most thankful. Bruce, would you close us, please?